Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, honoring Arbor Day on April 26th, with an ongoing commitment to sustainable stewardship and conservation of Missouri's forests. Choosewood.com.
Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Today, a conversation with St. Louis County Executive Steve Stenger. He's in the middle of a number of controversial issues these days. A proposal's on the table to make him mayor of a merged city and county, while another would remove him from the office he holds now. Steve Stenger joins me in studio. Well, there you go.
Well, hello. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me, and it's always a pleasure.
It's good to have you here. Let's talk about some of these things that are making headlines these days, Steve. We've got to. The removal from office. Why aren't you attending county council meetings to cause this to happen?
Well, I actually do attend council meetings. That's a bit of a misnomer. I do attend. There was a...
But not every council meeting.
No. I don't.
Regularly, would you say?
Yes, I would say regularly. Toward the end of the year... And you have to understand there's a very broad context here. And I think this – you mentioned those two issues that are controversial. One is the Better Together proposal, and one is this effort to remove me. I think it has as its genesis perhaps the Better Together proposal, just as the mayor's – the attempted removal of the mayor and the city. I think that there's some relation between the two.
Why would there be a relation?
Oh, I think that I think there are angry council people just as there are angry Alder people. And I think that perhaps the motivation for the two efforts is likely the same.
This started before the Better Together proposal came out, though.
Oh, I mean, the discord, discord and the tension, certainly. But it really reached an all-time high with the Better Together proposal. Yeah. So I would say, it's two efforts to remove. And they're likely related. But with respect to attending meetings, I do attend council meetings. I don't attend every council meeting, nor am I required to attend every council meeting. My job is a job that is much broader than the county council. The county council, I'm not a county council member. I attend meetings in more of a ceremonial role. The charter certainly allows me to be at the meetings, but I do not vote. I don't vote, so it's not as if I'm missing votes like a member of Congress. If you don't attend your votes, it's not like that at all. I don't vote. It's more ceremonial in nature. But with that said, we have a lot going on in the county. My job requires me to work probably anywhere from 70 to 80 hours a week, and I'm oftentimes, busy all day and into the evening. If I'm not at a council meeting, I'm quite literally doing something else that's related. And some of the council meetings have been set during the day. Those are extraordinarily difficult for me to attend, and they're often done with fairly short notice. So I do my very best to make it when I can, but once again, I don't vote. And there really isn't much I do at those meetings, and it's not a meeting where there's usually debate, or I should say even in some cases legitimate debate. It's more, it's at times there's a bit of a circus atmosphere.
Well, it's causing people to ask, if you can't get along with a council of seven members, how would you get along with a council of 33 as this super mayor under the Better Together proposal?
Yeah, and I would tell you that this may seem counterintuitive, but it's perhaps not. It's more difficult to get along with seven people who have, in some cases, not all seven, by the way, but in some cases who have political axes to grind. Than it is to work with 33 individuals where there is, much more diversity of views and, perhaps political persuasion.
But the people who voted against you were Democrats.
Sure.
Your party.
And those are the same Democrats who opposed me in my most recent election. And I think you find this in communities where the communities become more one-party dominant. The party itself begins to sort of fracture from within, and it develops factions. So that's really what we're dealing with, and it's no different than I think the mayor of the city of St. Louis deals with in many cases, and I think we see it in Jackson County as well and local governments all over the state, really.
Is Prosecutor Bell required to follow through on this? He's indicated that he didn't want any part of this removal effort.
No, the removal effort is really not an effort that is even rooted in law. I mean, like I said, there is no requirement that I attend any number of council meetings. So it's not a basis upon which, you can be removed, and it's not really the council's place to attempt some form of punishment, really. That's not how it works. We have checks and balances upon one another, but neither branch, my branch or their branch, is really a punisher of the other. You know, it's just not how our charter is drafted or written. So it's really actually against the charter, and it's actually against any existing law that our, the attorney for the council and is the attorney for the county. Mm-hmm. We share attorneys, and the attorney gave us both the same opinion that this really had no place.
I want to talk about Better Together,
sure,
and Will in a moment, but there are some other things out there, Steve, that we probably ought to clarify right now. Allegations pop up from time to time. You're a little too cozy with your donors, and that there are financial advantages that they receive because they donated to your campaign.
You know, the way that our county government is structured, that's really impossible. I make recommendations to the council for contracts that the county has either entered into on a repetitive basis or perhaps new contracts. And the council actually is the body who approves those contracts. So those contracts aren't really, anything that once they're in the council's hands that I have any input as to whether the council will approve them or disapprove mm-hmm. them. And, it's not as if the council's not doing its job. The council has, many hearings on the various contracts that we have and monitors all of those situations as they should. And they approve virtually, everything that that we send down to them for approval.
What about the economic development partnership and your relationship with Sheila Sweeney and the allegation that she took her directions from the ninth floor of the county government center, your office?
Yeah, and I think that contention goes, I think that's a contention that some of perhaps, political, antagonists might have. But in reality, about $4.5 million of St. Louis County money makes its way to the Economic Development mm-hmm. Partnership. And, I think it's completely appropriate that we communicate to whoever the director is of that department mm-hmm. as to what the priorities of St. Louis Countyans are through and by their elected leader. Mm-hmm. And the council is free to do that as well. And I think the council makes their opinion known as well. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's completely appropriate. And I think, frankly, I would encourage the council to do the very same, and I'm sure the mayor does as well, and I'm sure that some of the aldermen have made their opinions known as well, because it is, after all, it's a shared regional asset mm-hmm. that we have, hence the name partnership.
How well served do you think the your constituents are by all of this?
Oh, I think that. In any government, you look at it at the national level, you look at it at the local level, you look at it at the state level. I mean, politics is what it is now, and you really have to have rhino skin to be a public servant. You know, do I think the public is served by that type of rhetoric? No. But it's that, I just finished an election year. I won my last election by 20 points. And the first election that we had, the Democratic primary, was a very contentious election. And so arguments like that are made, the contract that you're referring to was quite literally, we're in 2019 mm-hmm. and we're still talking about a 2016 contract that was one contract of hundreds that were let by the Economic Development Partnership, and it was let through a request for a proposal process, all consistent with the internal processes. And look, everyone's had an opportunity to look at this and examine it every way that it can be examined. And, of course, nothing's come of that or any of the other allegations that have ever been made because, frankly, there's just nothing to them. Our government is not the first government where, it's part of our system of governance. We raise money as candidates. And in some cases, when you're raising money in a local community and you're raising $4.5 million, there's simply going to be some overlap. But we have processes in place to ensure that no one is getting any inappropriate treatment. And that has never been the case, nor has, I've been in public service for 10 years and haven't been the subject of an ethics complaint, mm-hmm. Not even a subject of a complaint, much less some other, type of finding. So, and before that I was a CPA and I was an attorney for about, 20 mm-hmm. years, free of complaints there. And I run a very professional executive branch. And we've done quite a few things. I hope we can talk about some of those today as well. But we've done quite a few things. And we have, frankly, so much going on that, you know, unfortunately, some of the headlines that are picked are the headlines. But what's really going on in county government and in our region is extremely exciting.
Do you feel,
and much more exciting than the headlines.
Do you feel embattled in this, at this juncture?
No, I really don't. You know, as I was telling you before we started, you know, politics can be a bit of a storm, and I find myself in many cases in the eye of that storm, and perhaps that's you know, that's related to, you know, some philosophies that I have, and you know, primarily it's let's move forward, you know, regardless of what is regardless of what others want to say or do, you know, we need to move an agenda forward that is the agenda of St. Louis Countyans and the agenda of our region and what we need to do and where we need to go.
I know diversity is one of the things that you have in your plate and that you're certainly bringing to the fore in your administration. But with Better Together, it seems like diversity could be a victim. It looks like it's going to dilute the African-American role in any mega government, as they call it. We've seen pieces in the paper even today calling for a boycott if this thing ever comes to pass, even take to the streets to protest.
Yeah, you know, that has been the argument of some antagonists of the Better Together proposal. But if you look at what it actually does, it just simply doesn't do that. We would have a council of 33 members that would be the legislative body for the entire, you know, metro city. And if you look at what that does, you know, frankly, I think it brings actually more opportunities, actually. And if you look at, you know, what happens with the municipalities as they become municipal districts, that representation still remains the same. It does not take away from those city councils or those mayors. Now, some functions of those local governments change, but that representation does not. I mean, and if you're looking at the change in the Board of Aldermen, it's actually a fairly small change when you consider the levels of representation. And it doesn't take away any, you know, any of the countywide positions. We still have those countywide positions that exist in St. Louis County.
Well, the municipalities don't seem to want any part of this. If we look at the Municipal League and what they're proposing, going back to the freeholder format, you don't want any part of that, I take it.
With respect to the freeholder, I guess you could call it a concept, or you know, perhaps I don't know if it's developed into a plan at this point, but it's certainly a concept. It over time, you know, I can only look at maybe one or two instances where it actually produced an outcome. You know, in many cases,
it's been done before, yeah, tried before.
It's been tried before, and I think it's apparent that in our region, if we look at our peer cities across the country, we need to make a change. We you know, the way we're doing business, and that, you know, the report that was produced by Better Together certainly convinced me of that, and it's something that I experienced over my 4 years as county executive. You know, we need to make a change in the way we're doing things, and this certainly offers that, and it offers change in such a way that we, you know, when you talk about representation and you talk about equity, I think it actually enhances equity across our region. First, it enhances equity in policing services across our region. It enhances equity in the delivery of basic services across our region. So I think that it actually enhances, equity and eliminates disparities that we see now. I mean, we suffer in the county and in the city from disparities in healthcare and education.
Sure.
And these are real life outcomes, and in many cases, life and death.
You and Mayor Crewson jumped on this Better Together proposal very early. That's received a lot of criticism because of the statewide vote, which many people have been talking about. Do you think maybe you got on board too soon, that you should have talked it over with municipal elected officials before doing so?
No, you know, there were ongoing conversations over the years, you know, and if I can just back up a little bit, when I first took office, you know, I was not a Better Together. I wasn't a real fan of Better Together. And I, you know, I was thinking, I think at that time, very parochially, perhaps came from, you know, where, you know, the geographic location of where I had represented as a councilman and sort of the attitudes and beliefs of my constituents. And as I, you know, began to do the job of county executive, I began to see, you know, many of the inequities that we have, you know, particularly with respect to policing. You know, if you remember, we tried to put together policing standards, and that was met with, an absolute wall. And in fact, the municipalities sued and had those overturned because the county did not have the court ruled that the county did not have the ability to establish those standards. And those were 13 basic standards that, frankly, you would see really in any institution. You know, I mean, it was quite troubling to see that. So there were efforts, you have Senate Bill 5. That was another one that was in relevant part overturned again. Mm-hmm. So this is a conversation that has either been going on verbally, or it's been a dialogue that has occurred through court cases, and it's been going on for years. So I think that my jumping on board was timely, and it was the result of, on my part, Don, a great deal of reflection, and making a considered judgment as to where I think we need to be and where we need to go.
I have to take a break, but one quick question before I do. I've heard people suggest that this whole thing may rise or fall on Steve Stenger because people will be less likely to vote on provisions of the Better Together proposal than they will on personalities. With you becoming a mega mayor, it will depend on your popularity at the time.
You know, I've heard that, and I don't really think that's the case. If you look countywide as to, how things went in the last election with a 20-point victory, I certainly would feel comfortable with that, but I don't think that that's going to be the case at all. I think that people are going to vote on this proposal once they determine if it's in their best interest. You know, I think that they're going to have to make that determination through a process of educating themselves, and I think that there will be plenty of opportunity to do that. There was just a town hall last night, and I was briefed on that town hall, and I heard that it went quite well. I'm happy to talk about that, all those things, when we return.
Okay, well, let's take that break now and come back and continue our conversation with County Executive Steve Stenger. Back in a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.
Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, honoring Arbor Day on April 26th, with an ongoing commitment to sustainable stewardship and conservation of Missouri's forests. Choosewood.com.
And welcome back to our conversation with County Executive Steve Stenger. One more question about the Better Together thing. Is it fair to have the statewide vote and not have the residents of the city and the county make this decision?
You know, I can tell you that is a matter that another matter that I thought about quite a bit. And I will tell you where I landed on it is, change is desperately needed. And in order to make the changes that Better Together would like to see made, for instance, with particularity with policing, with service delivery across, the entire new metro city, those things can really only be done through a constitutional amendment. Mm-hmm. And that constitutional amendment, because of constitutional reasons, would require a statewide vote. So, in an effort to have those sweeping changes that I think need to be made, in order to have a more equitable community, I think we need to.
But is it fair?
That's why I supported the measure.
But is it fair? I mean, city voters will have a mayor and you that they had never voted for.
And I understand that, but that is really only very temporarily. And I do appreciate that that sort of phenomena of this plan. However, in order to have the sweeping changes that need to be made, it's a statewide vote, and frankly, it was the state constitution that sort of brought us to where we are, and it's that state constitution that needs to change in order to reverse what we have. And it really cannot be done through the freeholder process. The freeholder process can affect some small level of change, perhaps incremental, but it's not the sweeping changes that really need to be done. And I mean, those changes would be almost, frankly, unnoticeable.
On the meeting last night, apparently a number of the questions that were raised concerned the fact that the proposal does not address education in any kind of a meaningful way. People are concerned about that.
And I understand that. And I think that, once again, This is sweeping change, and it is very large and broad change. But it's not, this is not the silver bullet for the entire region. And in many respects, this is incremental, but it's a very large increment. And I think that there are legal reasons for that as well. The education is handled in a separate, portion of the Constitution. You have a much different funding system for education than you do for local government. And so, I think the combination of this being incremental, and certainly, there are other measures that could be utilized to affect change in education. And I think that, certainly that needs to be done as well. It's just standing up a new government in and of itself is a very large challenge. And I think that was why, and once again, I can't speak for Better Together, but I believe that's why they chose to do what they did. These are sweeping changes to our community.
We have a caller who wants to raise an issue with regard to this Better Together plan. Then we'll move on, I promise.
Sure.
David in Webster Groves, go ahead. You're on the air with Steve Stenger.
Oh, thanks, Don. And Supervisor, I took driver's ed when I was in high school decades ago in Webster Groves, and it instantly gave me a lower insurance premium because I had taken driver's ed. Now, if I understand right, most of the school districts in St. Louis County right now don't offer driver's ed because of the high cost of insurance. And that seems so penny-wise and pound-foolish that by the county or the school district paying for driver's ed insurance on the students, that those students for decades in the future are going to be able to save millions of dollars because they were properly trained.
Okay, David, I really thought you were going to be talking about something else. Anything there that you feel you need to respond to?
I certainly believe he makes a point. I don't know that the county really touches on those issues. Those are more issues within particular school districts, but certainly a good point.
Okay. Well, let's move on to some of the other things that have been obscured and hidden and by all of this the other things that we've been talking about. What are some of the things that are going on in the county right now that people haven't been hearing about because of this other publicity?
Sure. I think one thing that is very much worth talking about is our efforts with respect to opioids and prevention. Mm-hmm. We began in April of April 2019 will mark the second anniversary of our prescription drug monitoring program. And if you'll recall, we started a prescription drug monitoring program locally because the state hadn't provided one statewide. We were the last state in the union to not have a prescription drug monitoring program. We've talked about this on your show. But over the last 2 years, our program has expanded to 72 jurisdictions now, and it covers 84% of the population of the state. And in the coming months, we will be releasing the 2018 Prescription Drug Monitoring Program annual report that will reflect some of that. And it's been a successful program. It's been a program, as you can see, that other jurisdictions have joined throughout the state. And we cover a great deal of the population and the providers in the state with this program. And there's talk right now that this could very well be the program that the state turns to a statewide program.
Has the number of deaths been reduced?
It has not been. This is an epidemic. We are dealing with a situation where it's very difficult to tell. Although deaths have increased, it's difficult to say how many have been prevented. Even though we're dealing with a situation where we have an ever increasing problem, and we're trying to find new ways to combat all the various issues that are presented by this terrible epidemic.
What are you aiming at with your emphasis on diversity issues in the county? You have a diversity officer.
We do.
And you have a number of things that you're looking at. What specifically are you trying to do?
What we're trying to do is, in St. Louis County, we're trying to lead by example. We talk a lot about wanting, we in St. Louis County talk a lot about wanting an equitable community and a community that is fair for all. And eliminating disparities along racial lines and gender lines. And what we're trying to do in St. Louis County is lead by example. So We brought on Jack Thomas as a chief diversity officer for St. Louis County, and he recently completed our county's first annual business diversity report. The report illustrates our progress to date in key areas of business diversity development, and I will tell you that I have never seen a person work as hard as Jack Thomas does. He's been working extraordinarily hard, and it shows. We've had some good results, mm-hmm. Very good results.
Right.
You know, we had 25 construction contracts that were let for a total of $10.4 million. And the minority women-owned business enterprise firm participation on these contracts is about $2.2 million, which is 21% by minority-owned business enterprises, and about $1.3 million for women-owned business enterprises, which is about 12%. Now, it's really important to consider this with respect to those construction contracts. Prior to Jack coming on board and back in 2014 and 15, when I first took office, that was 0%. So we've had a marked difference as a result of Jack's efforts, and just having an emphasis on that, it's made a huge difference.
I had a couple of emails in anticipation of our conversation here, and one of them goes back to Better Together. It says here, if county voters remove you from office, going back to another subject we discussed, if you are removed in a recall election before November 2020 vote on Better Together, would you still serve as Metro City Mayor, which some lawyers believe is what the proposal says?
The proposal, per its terms, would seem to say, and I'm sure it's open to interpretation, but it would seem to say that the county executive and the mayor, and I believe the other elected offices that are countywide offices, that you would move into the metro mayor and the transitional mayor slots if you were recalled. Mm-hmm.
One question that I had, and it's really not in your bailiwick yet, but where are you on the issue of airport privatization? That would fall into your lap if all of the other things come to pass.
You know, I think that it is certainly something that needs to be looked at. I don't believe at this point the study has yet begun, but I do believe it needs to be looked at. You know, our airport suffers from many of the same things that our region suffers from. There's a bit of stagnation. And the airport certainly has capacity, and it would be, I think, wise to look at every way possible to take advantage of that capacity and have a world-class airport and be a hub, you know, once again, for major airlines. And I think that the mayor has done, Mayor Crewson has done a really, really great job of being open to considering those ideas. And I think those ideas are being considered right now. And I await, you know, those studies and what they'll look like and what they'll reveal, because this is very well could be a multi-billion dollar analysis that's going to need to be done here.
Well, we could certainly use the cash, whether it's St. Louis County or St. Louis City.
Well, certainly that's one, I think that's one consideration, but I think for me, I want to bring that airport back, and for our local residents and our local businesses, and businesses, frankly, nationally, who want to come to St. Louis, we need to give them the ability to come to and from.
Got to end it right there, Steve.
Okay.
Stanger.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
St. Louis County Executive, thank you so much for being with us. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.
Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, honoring Arbor Day on April 26th, with an ongoing commitment to sustainable stewardship and conservation of Missouri's forests. ChooseWood.com.